Our reading this evening is taken from the book of Mark, reading from verse 24 to 37, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The faith of a Gentile woman. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He tried to keep it secret that he was there, but he couldn't. As usual, the news of his arrival spread fast. Right away, a woman came to him whose little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. She had heard about Jesus, and now she came and fell at his feet. She begged him to release her child from the demon's control. Since she was a Gentile, born in Syrian Phoenicia, Jesus told her, "First I should help my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are given some crumbs from the children's plates." "Good answer," he said, "and because you have answered so well, I have healed your daughter." And when she arrived home, her little girl was lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. Jesus heals a deaf and mute man. Jesus left Tyre and went to Sidon, then back to the Sea of Galilee, and the region of the 10 towns. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led him to a private place away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then, spitting onto his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue with the spittle, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and commanded, "Be opened." Instantly, the man could hear perfectly and speak plainly. Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news, for they were completely amazed. Again and again they said, "Everything he does is wonderful. He even heals those who are deaf and mute. This is the word of the Lord."
Amen. Good evening. It's quite amusing. The first time I was ever stood up here, I was 2 years old, and it was a nativity play. I was the only shepherd amongst the whole group of angels because I was too scared to leave my sister. And to make it even worse, I stood there picking my nose for the whole service, which my parents were quite embarrassed at. So let's hope I don't embarrass them quite so much this evening, and that I'm not so shy either. Okay, so let's dive straight into the passage we've had read to us this evening. In this passage, Jesus has left Galilee and gone north to the region of Tyre, which is in Phoenicia, which is now modern-day Lebanon. As we all well know, Jesus was a Jew. He was from Israel, and in Matthew's version of this story, he tells us himself that his first calling is to the Jews. In the passage read to us from Mark, we see a Syro-Phoenician, or if it makes it easier to understand, a Greek woman, coming to Jesus and asking him to heal her daughter. We read that Jesus seems quite reluctant to heal her daughter. Jesus says to the woman that it is wrong to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. The woman carries on begging Jesus faithfully, and eventually Jesus decides to heal the woman's daughter. Reading this passage seems quite challenging, as we see Jesus in a different light that we're not really used to. He is reluctant to help a person in need, which seems odd. But let us look at it from another view. Jesus came first for the Jews. It's not his mission on earth to heal this woman's daughter. However, Jesus does heal the foreign woman's daughter. So why? Was it out of his compassion for her? I think that may be part of it. Was it due to her strong faith? I think that may have also played a major factor. But the parable of the wedding banquet may help us to understand why Jesus heals this girl a bit better. If you'd like to turn with me to Matthew 22, 1-10. The parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. What can we see in this passage? First of all, the kingdom of heaven is open to all people. Jesus came first to the Jews, but the parable of the wedding banquet shows us that the promises made to the Jews have been widened to include all people through Jesus. Through faith in Jesus, the Greek woman is drawn into the promises of God's salvation. The first question, then, is who does God heal? Jesus sees the foreign woman's faith and even tests the woman's faith by trying to discourage her. Jesus is displaying that the kingdom of heaven is open to all people, that with him, all people have an equal chance to have faith and enter the kingdom. Jesus is teaching this not just to the woman, but also to the disciples. For example, when Jesus says it is wrong to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, it may sound very harsh that he is actually referring to the woman as a dog. However, Jesus is teaching that even the lowest of the low in society, the people that the Jews saw as the outcasts, could enter the kingdom of God. At this time, dogs weren't pets, they were scavengers and seen as vermin. In a way, Jesus is actually displaying displaying the overwhelming love and compassion that God has for all people. So who does God have the power to heal? Well, God has the power to heal all people if it is his will to do so. So who can get healed today? Anyone who it is God's will to heal. So how does this affect us? We need to be praying for each other. If you're sick, ask for prayer whenever you have the chance. God has the power to heal you, and he might just want to do that through you being prayed for. If you're well, then find people to pray for. In a church this size, there is generally always a few people who are unwell. Reese hurt his nose today, so after the service, I hope a lot of people are going to pray for his nose. Secondly, what ways does God use to heal? Let's look at two of the healing miracles we've had read to us this evening and compare the ways in which Jesus performs these. In Mark 7, 29-30, we see how Jesus cast out the demon from the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. It says this, "Then he told her, 'For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter.' She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. This healing was done very quickly, calmly, and simply. Jesus had never met this woman's daughter, but yet he cast the demon out of her without taking any real action or even commanding the demon. At first, I wondered why Jesus didn't go and meet this girl and cast out the demon face to face. Then I realized, Jesus is Lord. He doesn't need to cast out demons with words and actions. He has the power to cast out demons and heal people in whatever way he wants to. In this situation, Jesus was in a foreign land. He was meant to be resting. Perhaps he didn't want to draw much attention to himself at this particular time. So this may be why he didn't make a big deal about this healing. However, the second healing in this passage is a completely different case altogether, and in some ways is the opposite to the previous in terms of how Jesus performs the healing. This is what the passage says in Mark 7, 33-35. Again, if you'd like to turn with me to that passage. It says this, "After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, 'Ephphatha,' which means 'be opened.' At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly." In this healing, in contrast to the previous, we see Jesus laying on hands, spitting and vocally commanding the man's ears to be opened. Jesus made a much bigger dealing of this healing. Jesus has the power to heal this man without saying a word, but he does it in an extravagant way for a reason. Jesus took this man away from the crowd and healed him. The crowds had gathered most probably to hear Jesus and see what he was going to do. Following the healing, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what had happened. Well, we all know what this is like. The majority of us, if we see a sign saying, wet paint, please not touch, we just feel compelled to see whether it's actually wet or not. It's reverse psychology. I think, in a way, Jesus was doing a bit of reverse psychology. Again, as I said earlier, Jesus is Lord. Obviously, he knew that the news of the miracle was going to spread. So why tell them not to spread it? Well, I think it's because he knew that it would spread even more this way. In this evening's passage, Jesus heals two very different people who are in two very different circumstances, in two very different ways. I've been going to Soul Survivor for a number of years now, and one of the things I've noticed is that all people react in different ways in response to God. And when filled with the Holy Spirit, for example, in the meetings in Soul Survivor, when people are getting filled with the Spirit, some people will jump, some will fall to the floor, some will cry, some will laugh, some are very happy, some are sad, and some people are just very peaceful. Each one of these things I find amazing as God is present in all these people. All of us are different, all from different backgrounds, and all have different thoughts, feelings, and emotions. God works differently in every person because all people are different and come from different backgrounds and circumstances. This is similar to the way Jesus healed people and still heals people today. Each healing is different due to each person and each circumstance being different. In what ways does Jesus heal people? In whatever way he feels right due to the circumstance and the person. What can we learn from this? When we are praying for people, we need to decrease. We don't need to make a scene. It is all about the person being prayed for and God. If God wants to do something crazy, then that's great, but we need to leave room for God. Let me just get a drink for a minute. I'm not nervous at all. The third question I want to ask is, where does God heal? Some of you may be thinking, that's a stupid question to ask. The answer's obvious. God can heal anywhere. Well, you're right. However, let's look a bit closer, as I really believe there are a couple of key things we can learn from the question, where does God heal? At the start of the passage, in verse 24, it says, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence a secret. In this passage, we see Jesus leaving Galilee, leaving Israel, the home of his people, his homeland, and going into the unknown, going to a foreign place, a place that may not have been so comfortable. It was in this place that he meets a Syrophoenician woman and heals her daughter. Personally, I can relate to the feeling of the unknown, of being uncomfortable and being slightly scared when it comes to praying for others. And I'm sure many of you can too. I've often had this feeling when I'm asked to pray in public, or asked to pray for someone I don't really know. Places where some of you may have felt this may perhaps have been praying for someone in a coffee shop, or maybe at the big God tent, or while doing healing on the streets. I have certainly felt pressure in these situations, and still do on occasions. Often as Christians, we can feel shy, embarrassed and very uncomfortable, and often as if we have no control, especially when it comes to praying for others. However, I believe this is a good thing. Through us stepping out in faith, by putting ourselves in these positions, we learn to decrease, and we let God increase. He takes control. In this passage, Jesus takes control of the situation and shows his compassion for the woman, whilst also testing her faith in him. I believe this shows it is good to question the unknown, but we need to always know that in the end, God will deliver. In the New Living Translation, verse 29 can be read like this. Good answer, he said, and because you have answered so well, I have healed your daughter. Let me repeat. Jesus said, I have healed your daughter. We need to remember to let Jesus take control in these situations. Yes, we may feel scared, uncomfortable, shy and embarrassed, but we need to overcome this. We need to get over it and do it anyway. Jesus suffered a lot worse than this. So let's have faith in the power of God and faith that he will control these situations. Now let's look at the where in the second half of today's passage, reading on from verse 31. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. I believe that Jesus teaches us a very good lesson about caring and compassion in this part of the passage. We have read that Jesus leads the man away from the crowds. Jesus could have healed the man on the spot. So why take the man away from the crowds? I think the answer here lies in the very basic facts. Here we read that there are large crowds of people, and Jesus is just about to heal a deaf and mute man. The man is going to be extremely overwhelmed by Jesus healing him. To also go from being deaf to then being able to hear a large crowd of people cheering would just be even more overwhelming. I think that Jesus is being compassionate and caring and is generally just using common sense. A couple of weeks ago, you may have seen on the news the rescue of the Chilean miners. When the men were brought up to the surface after being underground for 69 days, they were all wearing very dark sunglasses and were still wearing them for a while after they were rescued. The men were going from being in a place with no natural light to a place full of sunlight on the surface. The glasses were given to them to care for them and for their protection. Jesus takes this man away from the crowds, and he cares for him and wants to protect him. And he is going, as he is going, from being totally deaf to being able to hear everything. This is another great lesson we can learn to help us in praying for others. We should be willing to pray for anyone, anywhere, but let's take their feelings and dignity into account. Use our common sense and be compassionate. Pray where they feel comfortable and in a place that is suitable to them. So where did Jesus heal people? And where should we be willing to pray for people? Well, the answer is anywhere. This may make us feel uncomfortable, but let's step out in faith. We should be praying for each other here in church. We should be praying for each other outside of the church. We should be praying for people when we are out for coffee. We should be getting involved in praying for people and praying at events such as the Big God Tent. And we should be getting involved in things such as healing on the streets. We also have great opportunities coming up in the busy festive season to pray for people at the Christmas and New Year services, and also at Sanctuary coming up on the 4th of December. We are all gifted in different ways. I understand that. But we can all pray. One thing we always need to remember when praying for others is that even if we are uncomfortable, we need to make sure the person being prayed for is comfortable. We have now looked at who, how, and where. So finally, when does God heal? I was so blessed last week by 24/7 prayer we held here at TABS. It amazed me to see people praying all day and all night. The church were really committed, and many people gave up time to pray at ridiculous hours of the day. I think it would be difficult to do 24/7 prayer every week. However, it does teach us a good lesson about praying. We should be living our lives praying constantly, as much as we can, all the time, and even more when prayer is needed. It is good to have personal quiet times with God, but there is no reason we can't continually pray in everything we do. In Mark 7, verses 24 and 25, if you'd like to turn with me to it, it says this: Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not keep his presence a secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. This highlights to me that Jesus hadn't been in Tyre for very long at all when this woman came to him. As the passage says, as soon as she heard about him, she came and fell at his feet. Jesus had probably had a long and tiring journey. And then this woman comes to him. What does Jesus do? Well, he talks to her. He questions her faith in order to teach her and the disciples, but also to get to know her more. Then out of his compassion, he heals her daughter. He gives her total attention and gives her his time. It didn't matter to him how he was feeling. He simply gave her all of his time. Then again, in the case of the deaf-mute man, Jesus could have spent time teaching the crowds, doing many miracles and healings on the spot. However, he doesn't do this. Instead, he gives up his time, leads the man away from the crowds, out of his love and compassion, and then heals him. This is another great lesson for us as Christians. When it comes to prayer, give as much time as possible, and pray whenever you can, as much as you can. Give God time, and give other people time. So when does God heal? Anytime he feels right. When should we be praying? Anytime and all the time. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul tells us to pray continually. So what does this passage tell us to do as Christians? It tells us a number of things. God has the power to heal anyone. He has the power to do anything. So if God can heal anyone, we should pray for all people who have something wrong with them, whether physically or on the inside. Also, every single one of us should be involved in praying. Every person here is capable of praying. Yes, God gives us all different giftings, but we all have the ability to pray for someone. God also has the power to heal in any way he wants and needs. We don't need to do anything crazy like spit in our hands when we are praying for people. We just need to pray appropriately. Jesus made people feel comfortable and took the needs of the person he was healing into account. We need to do the same. We need to do all we can to take into account the needs of the people we are praying for. Then if God wants to do something crazy in them, then great. But as prayers, we don't need to. We should also not be afraid to pray in any situation for anyone. We should be praying anywhere and everywhere. We should be getting involved in 24/7 prayer. We should be praying for people inside our church. And what a great opportunity for Christmas coming up. We should be praying for our friends, even in a coffee shop or in a public place, if needs be. We should all be involved in praying for people at events such as the Big God Tent. Jesus has compassion in when and where he healed people. Make sure that the place you are praying is comfortable for the person you are praying for. Finally, pray any time it is needed. We should commit our lives to praying in everything we do. We should be praying any time and all the time, especially when prayer is needed. We should, as Christians, be available to God and to each other and to people outside of the church 24/7. If someone needs prayer, whatever time of the day, we should be available to them, and we should also be open to God all the time. So let's pray for each other. Let's pray for anyone who needs it. Let's pray anywhere and everywhere. Let's take the needs of the people we are praying for into account and let God do what he wants in them. And let's pray as much as we can, devoting our lives to prayer, being open to God and to all other people, all of the time. Let's remember 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. I think it would be good to pray. Lord God, thank you for this word you've brought this evening. And Lord, help us to adapt our prayer lives through what we hear tonight, Lord. Help us have courage to pray for anyone, anywhere, at any time, and all the time. Lord, help us as we go out of here this evening to be with our friends and pray for them whenever they need it. Lord, give us courage and give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, may God's caring arms embrace us. Jesus' comforting words fill us. And the Holy Spirit's renewing presence surround us today and always. Amen. Let's share in the words of the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.